today we're continuing our study of the Bible in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. So open your Bibles to the book of Mark, verses 29 through 34, chapter 1. And last 4 weeks, I've taught about Jesus and demons. Riku. And today, starting today, we're going to be talking about Jesus and healing, okay? As you know, that Jesus' ministry was full of healing. And today I'm going to show you something very interesting in that. Are you ready to read? All right, let's read. Now, as soon as they came out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So now, Simon and Andrew are brothers, who Jesus called, and James and John are also brothers who Jesus called. They were fishermen, and they were competing fishermen. They had two businesses on the Sea of Galilee. Peter and Andrew had their own little business and their boats, and James and John had a bigger business. Their whole family, their father was, they were entrepreneurs. They were doing something on the Sea of Galilee, beautiful sea. Not really big, maybe about 7 miles across and 13 miles long. And so, yeah, it's pretty big, but you could see to the other side, you know. And so they're fishing, and Jesus calls them. And the first thing they do is they go to synagogue. Jesus begins to preach in the synagogue, casts out a demon. That's last week. And today Peter is like, well, you got to come to my house. Why? Because my mother-in-law is sick. So now look at this. Peter is living in the same house as his brother Andrew, correct? Now, Peter is married. Now, for all you Catholic people who say that Peter was the first pope, he was not married. I'm sorry to tell you, read the same Bible, and it says here that Peter was married. Otherwise, how would he have a mother-in-law? Let's just keep reading it. So they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother. Okay, so Simon Peter had the Pope, the first Pope, right? That's why I'm married, because it's in the Bible. Not a Pope, but I'm married. Hallelujah. And if I was to identify with anybody in the Bible, it would be Peter. Always say something and then think. All right? Maybe you can find your own, you know, apostle in there. Maybe you apostle of love, John. Lavar loves people, so maybe we'll give it to him. All right. And anyway, and Judas, do we have one? Please leave the building. Everybody knows. And so they had a house. As if you're interested in history, Jewish houses were small. They were from 200 square feet to about 600 square feet for a big one. They probably all slept in the same room. There's husband, wife, there's kids, there's a curtain, there is mother-in-law, and you know she can't sleep because she's older, and she's she wakes up early and she's listening to everything. And here Peter has to live with his mother-in-law. Obviously, we think that they have a great relationship because Peter invites Jesus to come and heal his mother-in-law. Let's read. But Simon's wife's mother, lay sick with fever, and they told him about her at once. So Simon says, here, come, Jesus. You just cast out that demon out of that guy. Now come and heal. My mother-in-law is sick. And when she's sick, you know how it is. That whole house, I mean, you can't have any peace in this house. You have to be quiet. You can't laugh. You can't cook. You can't hit on a plate. Or anything. Peter, Jesus, come heal her. I'm tired of her having fever all the time. Okay? So now remember, the big families living together. Chaos. Okay? Small house. So Jesus came to her, verse 31, and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately fever left her, and she served them. Now, so Jesus not only has the power to cast out demons, we see the third miracle that Jesus made is heal of fever. Now you think, well, fever is not a big deal. Well, it is, because if you have fever, and even if you do get healed, guess what? You feel weak. Fever makes you weak. Here we see that Jesus not only heals her from fever, he also restores her physical strength, and she gets up and begins serving. Now, what is she serving? Is she serving food? I don't know. Let's keep reading. Maybe for lunch. But in the evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. Now, demon possession has to do with emotional sickness, with your soul being sick. We'll touch on that a little more. So there is physical sickness and there is soul sickness. And sometimes, and people do crazy things, they mutilate themselves in order not to feel emotional pain. Because depression, guilt, condemnation sometimes is more painful. How many of you heard of Macbeth? Not you. Shakespeare's Macbeth. You know this story, how this person kills another person and then he just tormented. You know it better than I do, right? Never liked that guy. But anyway, I read it. I had to. And so we hear from history that Pilate, who crucified Jesus, do you remember that? He allowed him to be crucified. The history tells us, do you remember he washed his hands off and says, I have nothing to do with this righteous man's blood. Well, history tells us that every day he became soul sick. He started washing his hands because he would see blood on his hands. And he died in going crazy. That kept hunting him. So emotional sickness. Now let's talk about sickness. Emotional and physical. What is physical sickness? Help me out. What causes physical sickness? Microbes, germs, infections, viruses, right? So they cause physical sickness. Now, what causes emotional sickness? Okay? That's interesting, huh? Well, what did Jesus cast out of a man who was in synagogue? Evil spirit. Now, how many of you know the Bible says this, that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy? You've all heard him. He spoke to you in your mind. Amen? You know the devil says, lie to him. In the movies or in cartoons, they show one good angel and one devil right here. That actually, maybe not exactly the picture, but that's what happens. The battle happens in our mind. And Satan tells you steal, cheat him, lie to him. He tells us, hate that person. He tells us nobody loves us. He tells us we're ugly. We're nobody. We're never going to be successful. Who is it? Is it your own mind? I don't believe so. Bible says there's a battle going on in your mind between God's thoughts and what Bible has for you and what devil has for you. And that's why Bible says keep renewing your mind daily. Exercise and renewing your mind so the thought of God will defeat the thoughts of the enemy. When God sows a word, Satan sows what? Tares, doubts, unbelief, fear. Amen? So there's always a battle. Who's going to be victorious? If you're being defeated in your life, then Satan is being victorious over your thoughts. I heard this week from a man on the radio. He said that his parents got divorced, and he was like, the one recommendation, number one recommendation I have for not being divorced is never making it an option. It happens in your mind. Divorce is not an option. See, if you make it an option, it will happen. And Bible says, you have to choose between death and life, blessing or cursing. And God says, choose life, people. Choose it. You have thoughts of death and you have thoughts of life. Thoughts of faith and thoughts of fear. Are you going to get into accident today? You're going to be stopped by a cop today. You know what I do when I have those thoughts? I used to think it and it would happen. And now what I do, I say, I cast down those imaginations. It will not happen. And it doesn't. Sometimes I see a picture of somebody getting really hurt. I seriously do. And instead of being fearful, I cast down those imaginations. That's not my imagination. That's from the devil. My kids are going to be blessed. You are going to be blessed. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. And it's not going to happen. Or you can entertain it and say, yeah, I probably will get stopped by a police officer today. And before you know it, two, three weeks later, you got pulled over. Before you know it, you did break your leg. Not in a Hollywood way, but in a real physical way. And now you're with a cast. No, we cast down imaginations. We plead the blood of Jesus around us. We say that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Hallelujah. And so we continue in this scripture. It says Jesus healed those who were sick and demon-possessed. I used to, help me out here. Just pay attention. I used to think healing was only for physical body. I changed my mind. I think emotional healing is casting out demons. It is healing. It's still healing. Now, if there is no physical body, but there is spiritual soul. Now, how do I know soul is spiritual? Okay? Because when you die and your brain degrades in the dirt and worms eat it, guess what? You still have memory. So memory is not only in your brain. Your memory will be with you forever, either in heaven or in hell. Bible says in heaven, God will wipe away all your tears. What does that mean? You'll still have memories. You'll still have things. You'll remember. You'll remember people you knew here on earth. Now, there will be no sorrow, so you'll remember people who are not with you anymore, but you will not have sorrow because God will wipe away all your tears. He'll take it away. That feeling will not be existent. Amen? And so let's keep going. And the whole city gathered together at the door. Whose door? Peter's door. Little house, 500, 600 square feet. Big family. You don't want mother-in-law to be sick. Shut up out there! Can you tell the rabbi to be quiet? I'm sick. And what can you do? She's sick. She's an older woman. She's sick. You can't go against that. So Jesus comes in, heals her, raises her up. And now instead of her being against his ministry, she's serving him in the ministry. She's forming a line. Come on. For demon possession, one. For sicknesses, two. For crippleness, three. What? I'm preaching. Okay, I'm in my world, so I'm kind of, I'm over there. I missed you, Andre. And so then he healed many who were sick. Now notice, not everybody. Many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. So he healed them how? Physically, and he healed them emotionally or soul. He healed their soul. Some of you don't have a problem with physical pain, but you do struggle with soul. Your soul is in pain. I remember in the beginning of our ministry, we had an Armenian ex-police officer would come to our church. And he came here for what we can do for him because he wanted us to buy him a car and help him with apartment and stuff, which is okay. We did that for him. And when he would get drunk, he would call me. And he would be crying and he would say, he would call me Sasha because that's my nickname. He would say, Sasha, my soul hurts. My soul hurts. And he'd be crying. And I'd be like, I know he's drunk, but his soul hurts even when he's drunk. That was supposed to help. And then he would use he was Armenian, but he would use a Ukrainian word, the only word that could describe this thing. And he would say, Sasha, Yashka, which means the only word I can't find. it, but the word is, it's heavy. I feel heavy. And he would just repeat those words, crying, oh, my soul hurts. And we would tell him about Jesus, and for some reason, he just wouldn't get it. Do you know that salvation? Do you know that revelation is only because of Jesus? You cannot just decide one day to be a believer. And because you're here today, you're the lucky ones. I'm lucky because he revealed himself to me. You cannot choose to be saved. Because the Bible says, you didn't choose me, you didn't save me. I saved you, I chose you. None of us chose God by ourselves. If it wasn't him finding me, finding you, we would never be here. So you gotta cherish that somehow, whatever the circumstances, God has brought you into his house, made you a part of his family, made you a part of his body, and then gave you purpose in life. You gotta be excited about that. Some of us Christians, we just get so used to this feeling that everything is cool now. I don't have to worry about guilt, condemnation. I don't really. I rarely worry about guilt and condemnation. I rarely worry about, you know, being depressed or whatever. I know what it is. And I forget. And I take it for granted. But it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. So today my message is Jesus and healing. Jesus came to bring healing to the earth. Now maybe you're not sick physically or emotionally. But as the mother-in-law of Peter, when she was healed herself, what did she do? Let me read it to you again. And immediately fever left her and she served them. I would like to think that she served those people who were not healed, who came in the evening, and she served them. So maybe you're not sick today, but there will be a rainy day. There might be sickness, and we rebuke it, but you need to know that you need to serve people by healing them physically and emotionally. A lot of us are, oh, I'm healed, I feel good, I don't need to worry about this, you know, so I'm going to live my life just having fun. I want to be comfortable. Casting out demons is a little uncomfortable, right? Praying for people who are looking at you like they've been spooked by something and they can't stop. I've met people like that. They look at you with these piercing eyes like they saw a ghost and they can't stop seeing it. It's freaky. A few days ago, a few days ago, we were driving home and my kids were, Tanya and Alex and Abby was in the car. And we were talking about, Alex was asking us where we're from, because I have an accent. And I told him we were on the opposite side of the globe. That's where we came from. I'm from Ukraine. My wife is from Lithuania. And we told him how we didn't know each other and we met here and got married. And we said, when it's day here, it's night on the other side of the globe. And Alex was listening, asking me all these questions. Were wow, you know, they were, you know, it's new to them. It's so cool to teach kids. Kids are amazing. And so we're teaching them, and Alex says something. He goes like this, Pop, are you from out of space? I said, no, just on the other side of the earth. And then I said, if I'm an alien, then you are an alien. No, he was so rude, so serious. Pop, are you from out of space? Well, if you are from here, and I'm from here, from this earth, and you're from this earth, you don't have to look too far. You will see that earth is full of pain. Guys, true? The earth is full of pain. Not only physical pain. Which is hard enough, right? Physical pain is hard enough. But there's so much emotional pain in this world. People often ask me a question. And yesterday, I had such an experience. And I want to tell you about it. Yesterday, I was working with a young guy named Donnie. Is that right? Was Donnie Mike was with us, and he had his finger cut off by his stepfather because he stole $16 from him. This young guy had so much pain. Just driving in the car with him, I felt tears. And he was asking me about God, you know, and because my job gives me an opportunity to minister to people, because I can't help it. When they're hurting, I have to help them. I have to offer them. And plus, this guy was open to it. He was asking questions. And I said, "What did you do to your dad?" He's like, "What can I do? I was 9. And that pissed me off so bad. I was like, "Oh, I hope he wasn't a Christian or a cult. You know, everybody's a Christian." Oh, man, I wanted to. If he kicked his ass, I'd be okay with it. I mean, this guy was without a finger. You seen it. He didn't have a finger. He said he was on cocaine, just got off the cocaine, and he's like, "I thought when I quit cocaine," and his hand, his arms, heroin, I'm sorry, heroin, his arms were all cut up like, you seen it? I mean, just cuts everywhere, drug pain. I just hated when devil, I grew up in a nice Christian family. I'm so glad. And sometimes I take that for granted. But when I look at people who grew up, and I mean, there is like burn spots up here from heroin. I mean, the whole arm is all cuts. Just hate to see what devil does. And he knows what pain is. Some of you maybe from a good family, sheltered. Yeah, all of us have problems, you know, in our families. But not like that. Looking at him, you could see that he was confused. And after talking to him for a while, he said, "I'm confused. I don't know. I need something more. Because I quit heroin and it's still bad. Life is still, I'm confused." And that's what devil, God doesn't bring spirit of confusion. You know that? When you serve God, you know exactly your theology, your philosophy. But when you serve Satan, he confuses your mind. I would love to see that father, man. Oh, I hope I never see him, because I was so mad. And especially when I said, "What did you do to him?" You know, I thought he would punch him or something, or, you know. What, and he says, "What can I do?" I was 9 years old. And with this pain and bitterness and anger. And he's like, "How can God be good? How can God allow this to happen to me? How do you explain that?" To a young man who started his life in hell. Not because of what he did, but because of what his parents chose to do. That's why I'm so serious and preaching to you, because when you start your families, I don't want that to happen to your children. We don't want that to happen to anybody's children. But when families break up, and who knows who comes in, and who knows, many people have been molested by their stepfathers. It's crazy. And a lot of them say they were Christians. And I'm like, "You were not a Christian. You were Antichrist, but you were not a Christian." And the Bible says, "Woe to you, because this happened. Because you have offended people, and they flee from God." The only thing I could say to this young man was from Genesis chapter 3. If you can open Genesis or read it on the screen, Genesis chapter 3. Do you remember when Eve was tempted by Satan in the form of a snake? It says this, "Now serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord has made. And he said to a woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of every tree in the garden, but the one in the middle of the garden, God says, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And listen to the serpent. And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in a day you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And Eve said, "Oh, great." Now, Eve knew nothing else than good. Eve never knew evil. But devil says, "Hey, you'll know evil. this, but I want it. Help me out. I don't know what it is. You know, Satan comes to young people and say, hey, go sow your wild oats out there. You know you don't like sex if you don't try it? Come on, you gotta be stupid to believe that. Of course you're gonna like it. God made you to like it. How do you know if the parts will fit? They'll fit, trust me. Hallelujah. I talked to a man, a friend of mine, a businessman. He said he's been with over 100 women. And he said, here it goes. He says that, he said every time you're enticing a woman, every time you're trying to get a woman to sleep with her in a one-night stand type thing, she almost seems like a goddess to you, like no other. She's perfect. Her body. Her bottom. Her legs. Oh, just everything beautiful. And he says, as soon as you sleep with her, you're like, yeah, you're the same as anybody. See, there's no... Satan says, go try it. How do you know you won't like drugs or alcohol? But he knows. He's been studying humanity for thousands of years. He doesn't die. People die. He's been studying your dad. He's been studying your grandpa. He's been studying your great-grandpa. He's been studying your nation, your culture, your personality type. He's been studying you. He knows. Now, he's not knowing everything, but just by studying humanity for so long, when you look at kids and they try to steal something from you, they go like this, right? And you're like, what's behind your hand? Show it. Come on. Show it to me. How do you know? How do you know? You just know, right? That's how Satan is. He knows. He knows how to trick people, and he doesn't want you to do big things first. He wants you to do little things. How do you know? If you're married, he comes to you and says, are you going to live with this piece of meat for the rest of your life and not going to try anybody else? Just like my friend said, they're all the same. Now, your wife is the best, but after that, it's all the same. Right? Are you going to be with that one person for the rest of your life? Come on. You're missing out on life. And whatever Satan says to you, it only brings pain. It brings pain to you and your children's children, to generations. And that's why you see, and people write to me sometimes on email, and they say, am I cursed? Because we've been preaching about these. Because all these bad things are happening to us. Am I cursed? Somebody has to stop. We're Christians, they said. How come nothing changes? Because you don't live it. You just have a title of it. You're not really a Christian if you don't live it. Bible says faith without works is nothing. It's non-existent. It's dead. Don't claim to be a Christian if you don't live it. Hallelujah. And so Eve knew only good. Adam only knew good. We were created for good. And Satan says, you'll know evil too. And she said, I don't know what evil is, but I want it. And then she got it. And now from generation to generation, because of her disobedience, our disobedience, because of my sins and combined your sins, this world is broken. Humanity is broken and cannot be fixed until Jesus comes in and fixes it. And even then, he doesn't finish it here. It finishes up there. Are you still with me? I had people sit across me and they would say, my life is a mess and I have no one to blame but myself. And those are the honest ones. Guys, we have no one to blame. It's either my sins or my dad's or my grandpa's. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. When we talk about why there's so much pain in this world, the answer is because there's so much sin in this world. When a father molests his daughter or a son, or what do you think that is? That's sin. What do you think it does to the kid? pain for the rest of their life. So don't tell me you gotta go try things. How do you know you won't like it? Go rob a bank and see if you like that. How do you know you won't like it? Of course, you will get caught. You've been watching too many movies. You think you won't, but every criminal in prison thinks he next time he'll do it better. How many of you know that? Everyone in prison says, I can do it this time. But listen, cops are trained, professionally trained to catch you. Is it too serious for today? Sin brings pain. Now, what is the purpose of Christianity? Why Christianity? Why Jesus? The Bible says God saw this pain that was caused by sin. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world, people, you and me. He knew the pain, and he didn't want. He could have left us to our pain, and we could have destroyed ourselves a long time ago. If it wasn't for God having interference in this universe, humanity would disappear in the first 1,000 years. God is still involved. Good still conquers evil. And God loved us so much that He was willing to experience pain like none of us ever had. Notice He had His Son, the only one. The only one, the Bible says, one beloved Son. He loved Him above His angels, above the creatures that are in heaven. He loved His Son. And some of you ask a question, well, why didn't He come? Why didn't God came? And why did He send His Son? Because it was harder to send His Son. Because it pain. It hurts more. Parents, you parents, okay? If you had to die or your kid had to die, who would you choose? You choose yourself. You want your child to live. Right? So what's more painful? For you to die or for your kid to die? He loved you so much. He had His Son. He experienced the most pain for your pain. And the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. So why would you be sick? And the ministry of Jesus was to heal. Luke, open Luke 4:18. Oh, I'm feeling this message today. Are you? Hallelujah. Verse 18. Listen to what Jesus' mission on earth is. Mission statement. That should be your mission statement. Because remember, He died for you, so now you're finishing His life. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Notice in this scripture, there's no rich, there's no healed, there's no successful. Notice what we see here. Preach the gospel to the poor. What's better for the poor to hear? If they're only poor, what do they want? They want to be rich. There's no rich here in this scripture, in this mission statement. But if Jesus only said, I'm going to preach to the poor so you stay poor, that doesn't make sense. That's not helping. Come on. If a doctor came to you and said, I'm going to help you stay sick, my mission is to help you stay sick, you'll be like, get out of here, loser. Don't waste my time. Don't take my money. Come on. So He says, He became poor for us so we might in Him become rich. That's Bible. Now, when Satan tells you to use drugs, guess what? You pay for it. And you're going to lose everything. You're going to be poor. If Satan can trap you in alcoholism, guess what? You're going to be poor. You're not going to even have a car, brother. Sister. Yeah. I'm telling you. For real. For real, for real. No, I'm serious. Plus, when you get older, You're going to spend the rest, which you don't have, on medicine. Your life is not going anywhere. You're depressed. You're guilty because of wasted life already that you wasted. Tell me, doesn't kill, steal, and destroy. Here God asks you 10%, and you, Satan takes it all, and your life. God has 10, and that's only to serve others, and that's to remove your greed. Satan takes it all. When I was 9 years old, I can't forget one of the students who was in college in the summer came to work for my uncle. He would say, "You Christians are so blessed. You got cars, you got big houses, you got much land." He's like, "I want to sign up to be a Christian." He's like, "You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't pee in your pants, you know, when you don't sleep on a corner of streets, you don't sing like a drunk." That was bad. Alcoholism was bad in my nation. Because, you know, they said there was no God, so, you know, alcohol, that's what we go to. So drink it away. And so he's like, "I want to sign up to be a Christian." You don't sign up. You know what I mean? And listen to his statement. "He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now, what does it mean to be brokenhearted? Is your heart in pieces? No, it just means your heart. They meant your mind in those days. They thought, you know, in those days they thought differently. They thought heart, love the Lord with all your heart, you know. And so it's your emotions. It's your, you know. So when he says he has come to heal the brokenhearted, that means emotional. He has come to heal people emotionally. God doesn't want you to be brokenhearted. Isn't what you? And a lot of people are brokenhearted, and they're trapped in their fear, and guilt, and confusion, and debt. They're just trapped. And guess what? The only thing that offers at least temporary freedom is the drink. Really, that's what alcohol does. It just makes us free for a while, right? You go to the bar, and you're not conversational. You're just, and then you're, "How you doing? Hey, yo." You know how people are so social in a bar. Why? They're drunk. Why? Temporary freedom. Drugs, temporary freedom. Except it entices you. It puts a rope around your neck and hangs you. So it's freedom with side effects. The first one is in the morning. And listen to what Jesus came to do. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Hey, sin makes you captive. It puts shackles on your hands and feet. He came to proclaim liberty, meaning there is a way you can get out. You were in prison for the rest of your life, and somebody told you, "I proclaim that this lawyer can get you free." Wouldn't you want him? That's what it's saying here. If you call upon this name, Jesus, he'll set you free. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. God will not just magically take your pain and broken heart away, although he can do that, but he'll do it in a process so you'll never get there again. He'll teach you how to not get in it anymore and how to stay away from it. Because Satan is not going to stop just because God heals you. He's going to try to get you sick again. Liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Now, it's not physical blindness. It's a spiritual blindness. You're not able to see the blessing in your life. God has given you opportunity, but you're blind to it. I've seen so many people, there's a business in front of their nose and they're blind. Seriously, God opens our eyes to opportunities. So you're not only working for somebody, you're hiring people and you're giving other people jobs. That's what he wants, to open your eyes to the spiritual things. And Bible says, if you meditate on this, if your eyes are open to this, you will prosper and have what? Great success. Say, I will prosper and have great success. But guess what? Satan wants you blind. That's what he wants people to be, because there's success in here. This is a manual for human, how to be a successful human. This is a manual to it. I bought a chainsaw, my first chainsaw, gasoline chainsaw, about 15, 14 years ago. And it says that you have to mix gas and oil to pour it, you know, to run. And I said, who cares? I'm just going to put gas in. I don't have time for oil. The chainsaw ran 15 minutes, overheated, and bad. I took it in, and they're like, you didn't put any oil in it. Yeah, I did. Liar. Come on. Why? You didn't follow the directions. Or you didn't read the instructions. TV is not working. Well, you gotta push power, you know? Come on, work! TV, work! Baseball bat. It doesn't work. No, it works. Just follow the instructions. Amen? This is the instruction for a human being. And Satan wants to keep you blind towards this. And God says, I came to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Meaning, recovery doesn't, it's not a magical thing. It's a recovery. What's recovery? Time. It takes time. It's not one day you'll open the Bible and be like, I'm like, Billy Graham, oh my goodness, I see things. I'm like, Pastor Alex, I can preach now. No, it's recovery. Okay, it's time, and then you grow to it. And you exceed Billy Graham. Because God talks to you, to your situation, to your circumstances. Hallelujah. And then to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Are you depressed? Are you oppressed? Are you possessed? Whatever it is. He said, I came to set you free. Because when you are in pain, I am in pain. God is in pain. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? That's Jubilee. In Jewish times, every 50th year, all your debts were forgiven. All slaves were released. Everything, Jubilee. God says, if somebody sells himself to you as a slave or borrows money, you know, every 50th year, all debts are forgiven. And God, and Jesus said, I came to do, what do poor want more than anything? To be debt free. And Jesus said, I come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the Jubilee. Debts are forgiven. Your sin debt is forgiven. Your guilt, everything is forgiven. So when you come to Jesus, that's the coolest thing about it, that you can start fresh. Like you didn't do anything. He says, I will hide your sin as far as the east is from the west. They never meet. It's a circle. Right? You'll never meet him again. I've done some stuff in my life, but I don't have to worry about it. It's gone. Hallelujah. I'm almost ready to finish. Do you know the first miracle that Jesus made? He turned water into wine. First miracle. That's not by accident. What does it represent? Wine, today we said, it represents freedom and joy. Wine is the symbol of freedom and joy. He turned water into wine. The second miracle, what was it? He cast out a demon out of a man who was possessed in a synagogue. Not an accident. This man was being tormented in his soul. He was brokenhearted. He was oppressed. And he set him free. What's the third miracle today? He healed mother-in-law. And you know, people who are sick are not very good servants. They're all about themselves. If something is hurting, you're not going to go help somebody else. You're going to be like, oh, it hurts. We men become babies when we hurt, even toothache. You know? LaVar cries doesn't like pain. No, I'm serious. He told me that. He doesn't like pain. And amen. Amen. So first, what did Jesus' first miracle? What? Water into wine, representing freedom and joy. Guess what he wants you to have? Freedom and joy. He wants you to dance. David, like David dance. How many of you know that song? I will dance like David dance. He did have some clothes on. But you get hot when you start dancing. Anyway. Don't go there. The reason people drink, they want to be free. I just want to be free. The reason they use drugs, want to be free. And Jesus said, I want to give you a new wine of the Holy Spirit. Second miracle, he says, I don't want you to be suffering. I don't want you to be afraid at night. You have such power and authority over the demons. And remember, he said, the works that I do, you will do these and greater. So Jesus promised us that what he did, we will do even more. So if he cast out demons and healed people emotionally, we are assigned to heal people emotionally. Now sometimes it won't be like, okay, come out of him, I said, demon. No, sometimes it'll be praying for a person. Sometimes it's just being there for a person and being their friend. And they begin to heal on the inside. Begin to speak to them, pray for them, intercede for them, and they become healed. It's not always, it's actually rarely that demons will talk to you. They probably won't, but that doesn't mean people are not sick. And you still, God will give you wisdom to see that person is not brokenhearted. Their soul is broken. They're confused. They need to pray, God, bring back their mind. Renew their mind to be stable, not double, not confused, not kind of everywhere. And the third one is physical. That's, I think, the easiest. God wants to heal you if you're struggling with something. Today, Pastor Iva, in the morning service, she was in a wheelchair almost because of her knee. And she got healed. Oh my goodness. She was running around this church. She was, and we prayed for her in IHOP. Remember that? She just barely could walk. And today she was running around. God can heal. Most people in the church are healed. And if you accept it, you will be healed. And we forget that there are sick people. Yeah, there are sick people. They need to be healed. Hallelujah. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 22. 1 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Listen, this is God saying to you, beloved, I want you to prosper, and I want your soul to prosper. He restores my soul. He makes it prosper. When a soul is in good spirit, you want to sing, you want to dance, you want to love everybody, you want to smile. When your soul is sick, you don't want to see anybody. You're bitter,